Welcome into another episode of Tailgate Talk SEC. I am Will Thomas, Week 11 recap. Now, the slate of games yesterday, they weren't the highest of profile, right? And even the best games weren't necessarily that close. That does not mean that we lacked any great action, and another great week of SEC football didn't come our way on Saturday. If you have been enjoying these videos and you're listening in right now, please subscribe to the channel. I really appreciate all of you who have been constantly tuning in and interacting. Let's get right into these games. We're going to start off with one that absolutely nobody cares about. Citadel at Ole Miss, 49-0 for Ole Miss. My keys to this game for the Rebels, they were just along the lines of have nobody get horrifically injured, everybody drive safe, and get through 60 minutes. They did that and then some. 35-5 first down gap for the Rebels, 603 to 106 total yards, 452 to 23 in the passing yards. Now, this isn't that much of a shock given who they were playing and how good of a team Ole Miss is, but those are pretty good numbers. It's just an absolute sledgehammer, and Ole Miss, they host Florida on Saturday. I'll actually be at that game in Oxford, my first trip down there. It's not as exciting of a matchup as I thought it was going to be in the preseason anymore. Now that Florida looks dead, we'll get to them in a second here. But Ole Miss, this offense looks really good. Defense had a great showing against the Citadel. I get it, but holding them to a shutout in 23 passing yards is still pretty good. So Ole Miss with another big win, continuing their collision course with the playoff, it seems like, and the Rebels and Lane Kiffin keep moving on. Let's go to their opponent next week. Now, Florida at Kentucky, 38-7 Kentucky. 38-7. The Gators have quit. The Florida Gators have quit. The Georgia loss seems to have broken. They had absolutely no fight in this game. Kentucky running the ball. They ran for 233 yards, which was good for 5.3 yards per carry. Florida outclasses Kentucky on line of scrimmage. They outclass them. So allowing that to happen, that's an effort problem. That is an attitude issue. That is quit in the team. There were 8 total turnovers in this game, 4 each. 3 of them were picked by DJ Lagway in the first half, and he was benched. We'll get to Florida in a minute, though. Credit to the winners to start off. Cutter Bowley, 18 of 23 for 168 yards and 2 scores with a pick. But Dante Dowdell and Seth McGowan, Dowdell broke 100 yards, 7 carries for 104 and a score. Seth McGowan, 22 carries, 92 yards and 2 scores. Kentucky just had their way at the lines with Florida in this game, which is not how the matchup profiled. All it does is show you that Kentucky wanted to be here, Florida, and Florida didn't. The Gators are just out of gas. But DJ Lagway, man, in the first half, 11 of 19 passing for just 83 yards, had his score to Jaden Ball, 3 picks, and he was benched for Tramell Jones at half. Jaden Ball, 17 carries for 64 yards. There was just no push from the offensive line. And once again, Kentucky's defensive line, it is better than people give it credit for because it's Kentucky. It's not good enough to keep Jaden Ball down for 64 yards on 17 carries. There was just quit. There wasn't any fight. There wasn't any aggression. There was no toughness from Florida in this game. It was a dominant win for Kentucky, though, at the end of the day, who has now won back-to-back games in the conference. They have an FCS game next week at home before they go to Vanderbilt. And Florida, they go to Oxford in what will be a very hostile environment, given all the talk about Lane Kiffin and Florida, all of the back and forth on social media between both fan bases. I wish I could have any confidence in the game being good, because then it would be just an unreal environment, unreal situation. It seems like Florida is walking in to a guillotine, and I think Ole Miss is going to have a great Saturday against Florida and their fans. But Florida, I think they've quit, and they have 3 more games, Ole Miss, home versus Tennessee, home versus FSU. I don't even know if they get one of those. Maybe they'll get one of the home games, but this Gators team, man, just totally off the rails. Totally off the rails. Moving on to a game that I had picked an upset in, and after 10 minutes, I knew I was wrong. Georgia at Mississippi State, 41-21 Georgia. They just outclassed Mississippi State in this game, 303-149 on the ground, 6.9 yards per carry for Georgia. Nate Frazier ran the ball 12 times for 181 yards and a score. Gunnar Stockton, he was 18-29 for 264 and 3 scores, but he made a couple of elite throws into tight windows. He had a seam shot to Delp. He had a jump ball on the sideline to one of their 6'7" tight ends. I mean, Stockton just played his game again. He was very sharp. He was very efficient. He didn't really make any mistakes. And that's what Georgia needs him to do, especially when Frazier runs for a 180. Blake Shapen on the other side of Mississippi State, 10 of 15 passing for 86 yards. They also brought in Kamario Taylor a good bit to the Bulldogs of State, 6 of 10 for 87. Just nothing going for Mississippi State. And Georgia was swinging the entire time. They never stopped throwing haymakers. They avoided a letdown spot. I thought this was it profiled as a letdown spot for Georgia after the Florida game and right before Texas. They didn't blink. They absolutely sledgehammered Mississippi State like they should have. And now they host Texas, does Georgia, next week, whose back is up against the wall for a playoff spot. The Longhorns need this win. Georgia is going to have something to say about that. Mississippi State, they go to Missouri. And State, I mean, they've looked good. Right, I mean, they've had some close games. This game was close for a little bit. They just kind of ran out of gas. I'm not sure what State has left in the tank. And we'll get to Missouri next, though. I'm not sure what they have left in the tank either. But we'll see. That game should be a loosely competitive in Como next week. But yeah, moving on. A&M at Missouri, 38-17 Aggies. If you had told me pregame, you had your little crystal ball, and you told me that these two things were true, Jamal Roberts and Ahmad Hardy each run for 100 yards and each score, and Missouri only gives up two sacks to that A&M defensive front, I would have told you Missouri is, at the very least, right in the game, if not about to pull the outright upset. Two fumbles lost for the Tigers. Just 7 of 22 for Matt Zollers for 77 passing yards. And the A&M offense was just so good. Marcel Reed, 20 of 29 passing for 221 and two scores. Reuben Owens, 13 carries, 102 yards, and two scores. Casey Concepcion and Mario Craver both got to show off their explosiveness in the passing game in the open field. Cassius Howell, breaking news, he did get home and got him a sack. Zion Young and Damian Wilson from Missouri, they did not get a sack. Zion, I think 1.5 tackles for loss, but that was it. I thought those two guys were going to be able to get some pressure on Reed and really make him uncomfortable, get home a few times, because they really are one of the best pass rush duos in the country. They just couldn't do it against this A&M offensive line. But the Aggies look like a total wagon. 464 yards on the road against this Missouri defense is awesome, and their explosiveness and ability to score from just about anywhere is so lethal. They had touchdowns of 48 yards and 57 yards, and now A&M goes home to host South Carolina. This should probably be favored by a good bit and should be able to take care of business. And Missouri, like I said, hosts Mississippi State. A&M, I think, this team is real. This team is beyond legit. Their last hard game is going to be at Texas, and we'll see where the Longhorns are at that spot based on what they're doing against Georgia. A&M, I think, should be a top four seed, right, barring a loss to Texas and then maybe another loss in Atlanta, if that's how that goes. But this Aggies team is really good. This Aggies team is really, really good. Moving on, we just got two more games left. Pretty quick moving show here. LSU at Bama, 20-9 for Alabama. Now, LSU's defense, they did what I thought they could in this game with, new coach, new juice, get it done. Held Bama to just 2.2 yards per carry, only 61% passing for Ty Simpson, and 4 of 13 on third down for Alabama. LSU's offense just can't move the ball. 2.3 yards per carry for the Tigers. Nuss was 18-21, 121 passing yards. He was benched for Michael Van Buren in that second half. No touchdowns. You're going to want to score touchdowns if you're LSU, right? I mean, the end zone's there for a reason, especially being on the road. You're going to want to get in there. But on the other side, Bama's run issues, they showed up again. Their leading rusher was Daniel Hill, who carried the ball 7 times for just 21 yards and a score. It worked at home against a bad offense in LSU. They didn't really need to put up a bunch of points. It's not going to work against A&M in Atlanta. It's not going to work in the playoffs. So Bama being this one-dimensional, it really hasn't killed them yet. I'm afraid it's going to catch up to them against these better teams because you haven't seen that running game develop. And we're at a point now where, as teams, you are what you are. Bama's not going to develop a running game out of nowhere, I don't think, late in the season. So they need to, it's sketchy. You need to be able to do more than 2.2 yards per carry, obviously, and that might be matchup dependent. But Bama's one-dimensional, it's scary to me. And they host Oklahoma this next week. That'll be a pretty good test to see if they can get a run game going. And LSU, they get a home game against Arkansas. And again, that's normally pretty fun. I'm not sure what kind of effort you get out of both those teams. But Bama just keeps cruising, keeps winning games. Doesn't matter how ugly it is, a win is a win. Last game we're going through, I was at this game, maybe game of the year, Auburn at Vanderbilt, 45-38 Vandy. My first note in this game is just hell yeah. This was an awesome game, absolutely electric atmosphere in the second half in Nashville, and it was a great one to be at. We had 64 total first downs, 1,107 total yards, and Diego Pavia, who I was told is horrible because he lost to Texas by 3 on the road, he was 25 of 33 passing for 377 yards and 3 scores, was also Vandy's leading rusher, 18 carries for 112 and another touchdown. Trey Richardson and Eli Stowers for Vandy both eclipsed 100 yards receiving. On the other side, Ashton Daniels, he played a really, really good game. He was 31 of 44 passing for 353 and 2 scores. Jeremiah Cobb, great game on the ground, 16 carries for 115. How about what Cam Coleman did in this game? He had 10 catches for 143 yards and a score. Just alien type of grabs. He had one up the sideline in the third quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, that touchdown and 2-point conversion, back-to-back one-handed grabs. No one does that. People don't do that. But in the first half of this game, there was not a lot of juice in the building or on Vandy's sideline. It was a pretty quiet environment, and Auburn was really dominating that game. They only got up by 10. And in the second half starts, Vandy forces a 3-and-out, scores. instant buzz, place got loud, and there was an incredible back and forth. The second half really felt like a college football game. The first half just kind of felt like what you're used to seeing in Nashville. Second half felt like what it was supposed to be with Vandy making the playoff push. So Vandy, they keep their playoff hopes alive. They get a bye before they host Kentucky. And Auburn, they get a bye, and then they host the mighty Mercer somethings. Are they the Bulldogs? I forget what Mercer is. But, I mean, Vanderbilt, man, this is an awesome win. Total gut check time, because Auburn, I mean, it was another game where Vanderbilt, they're a favorite, but they are not the more talented team on the field by a lot. And Auburn, without Freeze, I had a lot of questions about what their offense would look like coming out of just 1 week without Hugh Freeze, with DJ Durkin taking over. I didn't think they could make much change. That offense looked really good. Ashton Daniels had a great game. The running game was awesome. He kept feeding Cam Coleman. That was a major gut check for Vandy to come back and win that game from down two scores. I don't care what Auburn's record is. They are a more talented team than Vanderbilt on their roster. So winning that game, down two scores, that is incredibly impressive. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise, because it just is. So there we go. Those are the six games. Let's get the dudes of the week really quick. And my first one is just Diego Pavia. I already brought up his stats. I already brought up how it was a big-time win in the second half. But really why he's on here is because post-game, he was asked about being 3-0 against Auburn in his career, and he just said, when someone don't recruit you, that's the secret. This guy plays with a chip on his shoulder against everybody, and it was awesome to see him do it again yesterday. And then no more than Cam Coleman. I mean, I talked about the back-to-back one-handed grabs to get the octopus and tie it up late. He's just an absolute freakazoid, right? In the most important spots, you go to him. They went to him on that fourth down in overtime. He was double covered, rightfully so. I think at that point, you got to go somewhere else. But Ashton Daniels only looked at him. Didn't work out. But Cam Coleman, second dude of the week. And then my third one is a collection of dudes for the week. And it's just Georgia's offensive line. 7 yards per carry against Mississippi State. Absolutely carving massive holes for Nate Frazier to run through. They just executed what they had to do against a weaker opponent and looked absolutely dominant doing it. That's what a Georgia Kirby Smart offensive line was supposed to look like. And they absolutely manhandled Mississippi State. So those are my dudes of the week, Diego Pavia, Cam Coleman, and then all of Georgia's offensive line. They played an awesome game, and that'll do it. This is a quick one. This is a very, very quick recap episode. We don't have any coaches being fired to really fill up some more time, but thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of Tailgate Talk SEC. If you did enjoy, please drop a subscribe, and I will see you guys next time.